about fucking dogs.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Alright, guys. It's a work day, and you guys work here, so let's go do some work.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the first commercial radio broadcast from KDKA in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jebediah Ryder. And I'm a long time fan. Hope you be it. Some now good time good. Music.
And now.
It was the 3rd of September. That day I'll always remember. Yes, I will.
Our feature presentation.
Bean loves songs that mention dates.
Well, we're coming up to another big one in September, right, Bean?
I don't know. Wait me when September ends.
No.
Wait,
do you remember?
Oh, the 21st.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
That one coming up too. Yeah.
Sweet.
He's very excited about that stuff.
It's not that I.
You love it.
I'm not saying that I love it.
I'm saying you love it.
It's not like I've been ripping pages off the calendar like I can't wait for today to get here, but I think it's an appropriate morning to start with that little soundbite because it is the 3rd of September.
Right, but I'm saying that makes you happy.
I like it.
All right.
I don't think overly so, though.
I don't think
I'm a fanatic about it or anything.
Okay, I overstated it. Let me just
now. What's your
rephrase?
What's your now? Do you hate it just because it's
I
so
don't
cool?
Know. Because it's so cool. Yeah, I hate it because it's so cool.
Is that why you hate it?
That's pretty. That's a good recap.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, a good recap
because it's too awesome.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Thursday. It's the 3rd of September.
What?
As you just
I heard about that in a song. We should be entitled to an early weekend after that tedious, ponderous, long meeting yesterday, right? Like, they shouldn't really make us work today. I feel like we worked Thursday and Friday. We worked yesterday afternoon. Don't you?
I think that's true, but I also think you did add to the longness of the meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How dare you?
Yeah. When I was in high school, we had a kid, and we could get the teacher sidetracked. Mm-hmm. It took a lot of work, but we could get him off topic, and he would start talking about stories, whatever. He would abandon the subject. Mm-hmm. And we had one kid who would raise his hand, and he would say, can we get back to calculus?
Oh.
That's Bean.
No. Why do you like calculus, Bean?
Why do you like calculus?
I don't think that's true. Is this because I asked a couple of questions?
Define a couple.
Well, a couple.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look, we don't get a lot of FaceTime with the suits.
Right.
So while we were there, I wanted to ask about a couple of things. That's mm-hmm. all. Thought that was reasonable.
But what's rule number one for meetings?
Well, your rule is don't ask questions.
That's correct. Zero questions.
Because you want the meetings to go as quickly as possible.
Right. Doesn't everyone?
Yes. You want the meeting to go as quickly as possible, but you also want to maximize your opportunity, take advantage of the situation, and get more information sometimes.
Because
see, that's
it's not possible to do that, like, through email, perhaps.
My whole thing is I need more details.
Right.
That's my
right,
whole thing.
Right, but you need more details. So right. I'm saying make a little note, go home, write, like,
follow
a 10,000-page follow-up
sure.
email, get it all covered. And the rest of us are fine.
Our story this morning comes out of Olathe, Kansas. I don't know what you guys are huffing when you want to get high. I just stick to, the cans of whipped cream or, smoking nutmeg or whatever you got. But this is a new one for me. The Johnson County Walmart in Kansas. Melissa Ann Wright was arrested there this week. She is accused of huffing canned air.
Mm-hmm.
This is the you've seen those cans, Kevin. Maybe you've even used them that you're supposed to use to, like, blow out your computer. It's an industrial strength duster.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It has a straw thing on it.
It has a little straw on it, and it's just compressed air.
You can huff that? I'll be back.
I never in a million years would have imagined that you could. I mean, because it doesn't seem like there's a – are there chemicals in that that would get you high, that make you feel good? I thought it was just air. Anyway, other shoppers saw the woman huffing a can of Ultra Duster at about 11 p.m. inside the Walmart near East Santa Fe Street and South Black Rob Road. They called 911. The spray is supposed to be used as a cleaner.
Hey, honey, I'm going to be right back. I got to go get high at the Walmart.
Right, exactly.
Got this thing to do.
The bottle does warn that inhaling it can be harmful or even cause death. Listen to this, by the way. Here's the University of Kansas Poison Control Center. Once it enters the system, it causes the heart to become super sensitive to things like adrenaline. So if you become frightened, you can have a heart attack. It can also cause you to pass out fairly quickly because it removes the oxygen in your lungs. Now, I don't understand how that works at all. One of the most common injuries from huffing. You want to take a guess at what one of the most common injuries is, or something that happens to your body when you huff canned air?
Is it like a response, like if you fall and hit something? Or is it something that happens inside
happens to your body.
Seizure.
All right. Seizure. Kevin, you got a guess?
I would say a bowel obstruction.
Frostbite.
What?
Yes. What? One of the most common injuries is instant frostbite. It causes frostbite on contact. So you would have frostbite of the lips, throat, mouth, and even further down. Because of those dangers and the fact that it can cause a liver or kidney to shut down, the makers of the product have added a bitter taste to discourage abuse.
Oh, my God.
So this happens often enough that they have had to address it in the technology, in the rollout of the product, where they put a taste on the air so that people don't huff it. Anyway, it looks like she will be charged with abusing toxic vapors, which I have never heard of.
Look, there are too many people on this earth.
Yeah, you think that's just Darwinism at play?
I'm saying if she's going to Walmart to huff that
at 11 o'clock on a Wednesday night.
Let's not taint it with any kind of taste. Let's just let her do that.
Experts say someone might use compressed air to get high, not because they're addicted to the chemicals inside, but because they're addicted to the way it makes them feel. They say it can be similar to a drunk or intoxicated type feeling. So I have just, A, learned some stuff I didn't know, and B, I'm stopping by the Walmart right after the show today.
No.
Check this out.
Don't do it.
Being at home, like surrounded by a bunch of empty cans.
I'm going to go on Huff History is where I'm going.
Was this whole thing a setup for that?
No.
Okay.
It just occurred to me, though, when I read the sentence about the drunk or intoxicated type of feeling, I think maybe I need to do my own show where I huff it up and then do the thing. So anyway,
you're going to huff it up and then do the thing?
He even made huffing sound less hip.
How is that possible? And then, of course, all right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? You won't be disappointed. I'm not positive about that part.
Are you going to stand by that?
I'm not positive about that. Dr. Drew's on the program today. We talked to him on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. We have Jim Rohn.
He's seen a lot of huffers.
He has, yeah. You should ask him. Hey, I'm thinking about doing some huffing. You should ask him that. I'm sure he'll love it.
He's going to huff it up.
He's going to huff it up.
And then do the thing.
Right. Muggs has all kinds of Instagram trouble. And I find this endlessly funny. Because Muggs is the kind of guy who has an issue and gets burning hot mad. He's angry enough to just burn the world down, and then he forgets about it for like 2 months. And then someone will bring it up again, and he'll be so angry. And then 2 months later, it's been going on for 2 years. So we're going to tell you about Muggs' Instagram problems. We have Lee Rittenberg, the traffic defender, who will teach you how to talk to police officers, perhaps ways that you can get out of tickets that you've been given.
Yeah, Kevin's got him on speed dial.
I do. We're also going to discuss whether sports fans can use the word we when referring to their team.
Like we won.
It does bother some people.
We're going to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you're not. You know, that bothers some people. Okay. One of those people is Ralph. So we'll talk about that. And also bad names on today's Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know if you saw the story of Chief Keef. He named his son Snow, and then he has a company called Filmon. Snowfilmon.com is the kid's name.
The name.
Well, you're not going to be able to top that. That's the worst name ever.
And dot is spelled out as well. It's not just a dot. So Snowfilmon.com, Kozar, which is his real last name. So that seems that's not good.
Mm-mm.
Don't use your kids for that. Mm-mm. So we'll talk about that as well this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:56.
Hey, Ralph Garman. What's the date again? What's this date? It's the 3rd of September. You know that.
I was hoping for a little musical accompaniment.
Well, I needed a little heads up if you were going to ask.
You should have it at the ready all day long. So anytime he says, that's right.
That day I'll always remember.
That's right.
Yes, I will.
And that ain't right.
That ain't right.
Yeah. See, you're with me, right?
I'm way with you. First of all, I love that song. But third, how many songs do give you an exact date that you can use on a hilarious, popular radio broadcast program?
Not too
many.
Define
all of those
not
words.
Hilarious, yeah. Popular.
And in fact, when it gets to be late December, I'd like to play "Oh What a Night" by Four Seasons for the entire second half of the month. You know, let's use all of our tools.
I like it.
Let's use all the arrows in our quiver, Kevin.
I sure. Like it.
All right. Sad news. The Disney dad, guy probably best known for Herbie the Love Bug and That Darn Cat, Dean Jones, actor after 46 films and a storied career, has passed away. He was 84 years old. Remember the Love Bug? Remember Herbie the Love Bug?
Barely.
He was the driver. Buddy Hackett was the mechanic.
No, I don't remember.
We have to fix the thing.
Come on. Where was your childhood?
Love
Bug.
I didn't spend my childhood in front of a TV, man.
Herbie the Love
stuff
Bug.
To do.
Herbie the Love Bug. His co-star had this to say in passing. I thought sad. He was all broken up, man. Justin Bieber, speaking of cars, attracted a little attention from Beverly Hills Finest last Saturday. This douchebag passed on the right in front of cops. And they pulled him over, and his windows were all tinted too dark. So they came down on him. BHPD, dropping the hammer.
Hey, I have a question about the tinted windows, because I saw a lot of those when I was in L.A. yesterday.
Yeah.
Is that the type of thing they will never pull you over for as a primary offense, but they will always add it to whatever they pulled you over for?
It's at the officer's discretion.
I would say with some exceptions, yeah.
But they're very busy, and they don't have time for that nonsense. But if they're going to get you for something, it's a little gravy, bonus to get.
Why do you think so many people, knowing they're illegal, put the tinted windows on so dark?
Because then you get the ticket, and then you go have them taken off, and then you show the judge, and then you put them back on.
That's why they do it?
I'm saying it's because it's not a big
problem. Is that attractive to some people?
It's not a big problem.
But Bean said, why do you think so many people make them dark?
Because
they know they're going to be in trouble.
Because they're not really in trouble. It's just a fix-it ticket. It's no big deal.
It seems like it'd be a pain in the ass to every single day to think, well, I'm out there obviously doing something illegal. I don't know.
I can see why somebody like Bieber does it, because he doesn't want people driving next to him and looking in the window and seeing it's him, right? He doesn't want the attention.
Sure. Well,
but
I'm not
what are
sure
most people hiding?
But the average douchebag, it's cool, man. You can't see me. Do all kinds of crazy things in here. I got teenage girls in here. Remember that from Night Shift? I love that. Anyway, they dropped the hammer on him, and now he has to pay $263.
Oh, man.
I hope there's some sort of
installment?
Charity concert or something that they have for him where they can raise that kind of money. Bieber. big story. I brought to you earlier this week the story that Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog split up. That was a big story.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Kermit is dating again. He's got a new girlfriend, another pig named Denise. And Kermit sent out a tweet yesterday about the relationship. Well, I prefer to keep my personal life private. This is Hollywood, so who am I kidding? It's true that I am dating again. However, at this time, no one woman, pig or otherwise, is my official new girlfriend. We are simply close friends, said Kermit.
Mm-hmm.
And we are to breathlessly follow this relationship for how long?
For as long as it takes. Kermit is a national treasure.
Okay. I just know that when you've lost Allie,
right?
You've lost a lot of Muppets fans.
I think this is stupid. These Muppet shenanigans need to stop.
If Fozzie was dating again, she'd be very upset.
I would have Google alerts, but that's neither here nor there.
Waka waka.
Waka waka.
Waka waka. I'm dating a male bear.
What?
Yeah, Fozzie came out of the closet.
He did.
It's going to be a big storyline.
That explains the scarf.
In this season. Oh, yes. And that hat. Hello.
And while we're talking sexy time, remember Dallas, the old-timey TV show Dallas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a woman on there named Linda Gray.
Okay.
And she was a hottie back in the day. She was the focus of a lot of attention. She said she is willing to accept an offer that Larry Flint has made for her to pose nude for $1 million.
Oh, no. Linda Gray is broke?
Probably. But the only drawback is Larry Flint made this offer 30 years ago.
Really?
And she's saying, okay, all right, I'll do it now. I'll do it now. Hey,
what?
Larry.
Oh,
which I think
take my call.
Probably not what Larry had in mind when he made the offer. That's what I'm guessing. Yeah.
Well, that's spectacular.
That's some stones right there. Oh. Come back and say, yeah, okay, I'll take your $1 million now. Now that you're getting this. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, no, wait, let me give you something away first. I forgot I was supposed to do this at the beginning of the Showbiz Beat. Now, let me do it now. How about The Visit? The movie, yeah! The Visit, about kids visiting their grandparents, and their grandparents turn out to be monsters.
What?
It's happening on September the 8th at the Pacific Grove Theater, our K-Rock advanced screening of this film. If you'd like to attend, why don't you call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers of that phone number will get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of The Visit. And if you don't win, don't despair, because The Visit's in theaters everywhere on September the 11th. You can see it then. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, the 3rd of September.
It was the 3rd of September.
All right.
We're
going to hone that. We're going to put a little oil in the gears.
That's right.
We're going to sand off some of the rust. I'm telling you, later in the show, it's going to be smooth.
Rusty. It's been a year.
It's going to be smooth.
Right, but this is the only day you can play it. Have it ready.
It's going to be smooth.
Okay. All right.
Just think of it as Rocktober. Remember Rocktober?
Oh, Rocktober.
That jam was always ready at the fingertips.
Yeah, true.
Okay,
I'll do better.
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Sex Pistols. No. I've already said the date. Sex Pistols guitarist Steve Jonesy Jones. Jonesy.
Oh, I love him.
I miss Jonesy. Remember Jonesy?
I do, yeah.
Jonesy would come in here and say, what are you doing? What are you making fun of me? I don't know if I like that. He was 60 years old today. Charlie Sheen is 50 years old.
Losers winning.
Right?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Snowboarder Shaun White is 29 years old today. Andrew McMahon, singer for The Wilderness, 33 years old today. And Rita Volk, Amy from Faking It. Faking It.
Oh.
I'm faking it. I love that theme song. Can we play that theme song later on today?
That's making it. That's different. This is Faking It. This is the current MTV show.
She's 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 24 minutes after 6.
Yeah, man. You listen to Native Wayne in the morning, man.
Native Wayne, by the way.
It's a good callback.
That's a flashback.
Yep. Thank you.
Hey, you can tell from the crisp fall air outside that it's getting time for college football. And UCLA football is home opening this weekend at the Rose Bowl on Saturday against the Virginia Cavaliers. If you want to go, we have tickets for you at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 20 and 21 right now. Go see some Bruins this weekend.
I think Bruins are in for a tough fight. I think we're going to be out there in the field. We're going to be fighting hard. But I think we Bruins really have a game on our hands.
Ralph, how did the
and we're looking forward to it.
How did the Wii topic come up? It was Bean talking about a college.
I can tell you.
Okay,
yeah,
I can tell.
Yeah,
it came up because we were talking about UCLA football this weekend, and there's been a lot of chatter about their true freshman. What's his name? Josh Rosen, right? Who's going to be playing for UCLA? And
right.
It's not unheard of, but it's fairly uncommon to have a true freshman starting as quarterback for your team, right? There are a number of them this year, and I mentioned to Ralph. I said, "Oh, we've got a true freshman starting for the Huskies this year too." And the look on Ralph's face.
Well, I mean, he did follow that up immediately with, did you go to that school?
That was my first question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's the only time, maybe, and even if that is debatable, you can use the we specifically when talking about a college team. Specifically.
Okay. Now, I hear you say that, and I understand why you say that.
Because it's the truth?
But isn't it possible that another interpretation of we is you're referring, if you are a person who lives in a city and follows a team that kind of represents your city nationally, that it's okay to be, as a member of their fan base, to be a we?
No. It's not okay. Obviously, I didn't go to the University of Washington, but
right.
I have followed
so
the team for a long, long time.
So you're not an alum. You're not a student. You have no connection to that school whatsoever.
Right, but if I'm talking to somebody about college football and we're talking about other cities in the country, it seems like that means that team from Seattle.
Are there any other schools in Seattle? Are there any other colleges in Seattle?
Sure.
My head's exploding. Ben, are you we for all the schools? Can you say we for every school that happens to be in your local area?
You can
area?
Say we for every school that happens to be in your city.
Oh,
if
my
you're
God.
Talking, if
wow.
you're talking about them
down,
playing
a
school from a different city, yes.
So you can say we about every football team that plays for a school in your greater metropolitan area. They can all be we. You're part of all of them.
Anyone can, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That if you're talking about them playing against a team in a different city.
Madness.
Look, Kevin, if you're watching UCLA playing Michigan, let's
right.
say, okay, and UCLA wins,
right.
you can be talking to someone in Michigan and say, hey, we won.
Would you ever say that in a million years, Kevin?
No.
Thank you.
I wouldn't.
It's madness.
But I would say it specifically about the Kings, which is a team that I love and follow closely. But mainly
really?
When I'm talking to somebody else that's also a fan, like I would say, hey, Allie, did you see the trade we made or whatever? Like, I would say it in that way.
Well, listen, here's the thing.
I know that drives people crazy as well.
Yeah.
But for me, that is at least debatable. Because if you are a Los Angelino and you're a hockey fan and the Kings are your team, there's one hockey team in this region. Of course, we've got the Ducks down in Orange County. But you've got the Kings up here. And if that's your team, I'm not going to do it. But I could possibly see where it's debatable where you could say, hey, we beat the Islanders last night.
Right.
I can see why. Because there's a collective there where it's one thing in a massive area and the fan base is united. But could you say, if you didn't go to USC and the Trojans win, could you ever in a million years say, hey, we had a great game last night, and you're not affiliated with that school, you didn't go there?
No, I don't.
There's no connection for you.
No, that doesn't make
it's
any sense.
Not acceptable, that's
to
why.
Let's hear from the girl. What's the girl say?
I'm not a fan of it, and here's why. It has to do with Notre Dame. I went to Boston College. They, some people would say, are a rival. You know, we compete for God's love.
Sure.
But people say we, when talking about Notre Dame, that have zero affiliation. And I said, oh, did you go there? No, I'm Irish.
Yeah,
we.
Notre Dame's even worse because they get people from all over the country.
Insane.
Yeah, there's people in Florida go, yeah, we're going to play USC this weekend. No, you're not. You
no.
didn't go to Notre Dame. Just because you watch Regis Philbin doesn't make you automatically connected to Notre Dame.
Simmer down, Tommy O'Reilly. You didn't go there.
Well done.
So what
Thank
about
you.
What about? And I'm glad you brought that up, Ralph. What about the teams that have a national fan base? Your Packers, your Steelers, your Cowboys. What about those?
Don't
Enjoy. They? Isn't there such thing as a Cowboys Nation? For instance, wouldn't you accept a Cowboys fan even if he lived in L.A. saying we had a great game this weekend? Wouldn't you accept that?
Look, maybe if you have one team that you're passionate about, and look,
like Jimmy Kimmel's cousin Sal, mm-hmm. he loves the Dallas Cowboys,
right.
and has forever. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I think I would let him get away with that. I'm fine with
Again, that I say would be debatable.
Okay.
When it comes to pro mm-hmm. sports, if there's one team in a field of 32, and you've been a longtime fan, again, I would never do it because the usage of the word "we" means somehow that you had some sort of connection or effect on that game.
12th man.
It's 12th man. Yes. It's an insult to the team that you supposedly love so much to affiliate yourself that closely with whatever achievement they may have had. You know what I'm saying? No, why do you think that's ridiculous? Because you didn't play the game. You didn't have anything to do with the game.
Yeah, but no one's saying we played. When we say we, you're not saying I played.
By definition, you are. By using that word,
it's the extended family of everybody that pays close attention to that team.
You're lifting yourself up, and you're connecting yourself to that achievement by that close association.
Nah, that's just crazy. That's crazy talk.
It's English. That's the problem. That's why
you throw this out,
Ralph. Because it's English.
Let me throw this out, Ralph. Don't you think that those teams would appreciate the fans considering themselves part of the
You're
organization?
You're not less of a fan if you don't say we.
But I think I'm saying who gets hurt here? If the team loves that their fans consider themselves part of the deal, if the team loves that they're using we, and I bet they do, I bet they love how close they feel to their team, who gets hurt here? If the fan enjoys it and the team enjoys it.
The world gets hurt. That's who gets hurt.
You might be overstating.
But you're missing the point is that if I live in L.A., I can't say we won when the Bruins win, and I can't say then the next weekend we won when the Trojans win, and then I can't say, oh, we took the golf championship because Pepperdine won, and I can't say, oh, we won. Oh, we've got a great system of the Greek system up at Northridge. I can't we every goddamn college in my city.
All right, noted.
No, you're just not noted, apparently. You're not noting me. I will be noted. You better note me. God damn it, note me.
Oh, jeez.
Things got ugly. Bob writes into the Kevin and Bean Show. Dear guys, talking about saying we about your sports team. Mm-hmm. You should point out my favorite, which is that most people say we when we win, but they when they lose.
Good point.
Which is actually a really good point, Bob. Thank you very much for that. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. We're going to help you get out of a traffic ticket with Lee Rittenberg from Traffic Defenders coming up next hour. He is always a very popular guest, and Kevin pretty much keeps him on retainer. He does good work. Black Lives Matter is a phrase that you have heard all over the United States this summer. It's become quite a movement. In a lot of cities, it seems like every single weekend there are protests, and unfortunately, there are plenty of stories that that involve Black Lives Matter because it seems like all the time African Americans are getting disproportionately shot and arrested and bad things are happening. And I should just say also for those who counter Black Lives Matter with, yeah, but all lives matter, you're missing the point of this. The point of this is it's not the same. There's not a comparison between what's happening to other people compared to what's happening to black people in the country, and the facts back that up. But it's been very controversial and also very misunderstood. And it's in the news right now because of Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who you remember, Kevin, we fell in love with back a long time ago when she was a contestant on Survivor.
I read that in the article and I was like, huh, she was on Survivor?
Yeah.
She sure was. She was either on season one or season two, I think. We loved her. Mm-hmm. And then she went on, had many years on The View, and now she works on Fox and Friends. She's part of the morning show over there at Fox. And she's there's a little bit of a controversial discussion going on about a suggestion that she made to a guest. Now, she has a conservative writer on named Kevin Jackson. Of course, his name's Kevin.
Yeah.
And she brought up a question that I think a lot of people were surprised to hear.
Well, the Friday events were tragic and certainly a stain on the nation. Saturday is pretty much par for the course these days, Brian. If you recall, they had the same chant a while back when another officer was killed. And then, of course, we've had the officer that got beat up on camera, and they filmed him. So it's the unfortunate thing is this is the Black Lives Matter movement, which can only be described as nonsense, is creating a lot of this type of thing around the country.
Sure.
And it's going to backfire, quite honestly.
Kevin, why has the Black Lives Matter movement not been classified yet as a hate group?
Okay. Ooh. Wow. Oh. Look. We're not qualified to answer questions like that. This is where you start getting into delicate areas that inflame a lot of people and get us in trouble. And that's why we have a resource that we go to, and his name is Bruce Endicott, and he is with the organization Coffee, and he is kind enough to once again join us on the Kevin Devine Show on K-Rock. Hey, Mr. Endicott, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin Devine. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
We're fine. For our listeners who have not heard you before, could you refresh our memories on what Coffee stands for, please?
Yes, Coffee is the Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
All right. Okay.
And our job at Coffee is to bridge the gap between the races, between the sexes, between sexual orientation, between religions, and extend an olive branch of friendship from those of us, the well-to-do, white, Protestant, the good people, to the other people that are maybe are lesser blessed than we are. And we like to just try to calm the waters, to try to create a place where we can all have a rational conversation and maybe educate those who are in need of it.
Okay, I don't think you meant to suggest that you were the good people and everyone else was the lesser people.
I didn't say anyone else was lesser. I just said we're better.
Okay. You know that we have trouble in 2015 talking about race and not turning it into an argument. There's
That's
a lot of the misunderstanding.
Why we at Coffee are here.
So what's your initial reaction when you hear this soundbite that Elizabeth Hasselbeck is suggesting the Black Lives Matter movement should be classified as a hate crime?
Well, I think that Elizabeth has a point in the sense that there are a lot of groups out there that need to have a closer look taken at them that could possibly be classified as hate groups. And I think we have to be careful. We have to be careful about groups that may be, in fact, hate groups and haven't been identified as such. It's important. We need to take a long, hard look at a lot of these groups.
Hate groups aren't automatically identifiable. It's not easy to spot one?
I don't think so, because I have a list here of groups that I think potentially could be called hate groups, just like Black Lives Matter could be called a hate group. For example, okay. The Red Cross. Hate group. Hello.
The Red
what?
Cross?
Yes.
All they do is try to help people in
everywhere
disasters.
Everywhere they go, there's a disaster.
Well,
They hate locations where earthquakes are. They hate locations where tsunamis are. If you see the Red Cross, nothing good is happening. I can guarantee you that.
Bruce, they're going there to actually help those people
after a disaster.
Or
are they, though? Really? I'm just saying, let's take a long, hard look. Why are they always surrounded by disaster? I think it's worth looking into.
Okay.
The AARP.
Well, that's just an organization to give discounts to senior citizens.
Of retired people. Mm-hmm. Why do they hate people with jobs? Why is it only retired people that they take care of?
Why do they hate
young people?
I don't think they hate.
Every AARP meeting is filled with old people who are retired.
Right, it's for retired people. You try to help one group doesn't mean you hate other
groups.
Why
can't we help people, young people with jobs? What about those people? Why does AARP hate them? Because perhaps they're a hate group.
I don't feel like you're making this more clear for us.
Big brothers and big sisters.
Okay.
Amazing organization.
Why do they hate small people? Where's the little people? Where are the little brothers and little sisters? Where's that group?
Well, they're supporting.
Maybe they hate little people.
The little brothers and little sisters.
Especially midgets. They probably hate midgets a lot.
I'm guessing. So.
Big is in their title.
Nope.
Doctors Without Borders. Why do those doctors hate borders? What's wrong with borders? I like borders.
The point is that
borders
they'll go to any
country.
Borders
was my favorite bookstore for a while until they closed. There's a lot of good borders. Why do these doctors hate them so much?
We don't
want to have your borders. We're without them. Screw your borders. That's a hate
group,
I think.
What they mean is they'll go to any country to help regardless of where they are. That's what they mean. It's just medical attention.
If that country doesn't have borders, I guess. If that country has borders, you're out. You're not. Wow. No, we hate you. That's what those doctors are saying. Habitat for Humanity.
They build houses for the poor.
Habitat for Humanity. What about Habitat for Animals? Why do they hate animals? That's what I want to know.
I would say they don't. I would say they're just focusing their efforts on
Make-A-Wish Foundation?
Yes.
Amazing.
Making
sick
wishes
kids.
Come true for sick and dying children?
Yeah.
Hey, yes.
Grown-ups die, too. Where are their wishes, hate group? That's what I would ask them. The Royal London Society for Blind People? Come on.
What?
A bunch of British people taking care of blind people?
What's wrong with that?
You hate deaf people. Britain? I think Britain might be a hate country. I'm not sure.
I don't feel like you're clarifying this at all.
Toys for Tots?
Yeah, that's Marines and
Yeah, it's
and
the
such
Marines who give toys to
kids.
Underprivileged kids. What's wrong with that?
Teenagers need toys, too.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Why are they left out of the group? Hate. That's why.
I don't think it's hate.
Not
Peace
hate.
Corps. The Peace Corps.
Right.
Okay.
It's the opposite
what
of hate.
What do you find wrong with the Peace Corps?
What's wrong with hate? Why do they hate hate? I think they're a hate group.
A hate group.
They're a hate squared.
And now, a moment with Bean.
All right, so there's a guy who's hosting the program, and he's interviewing a lady in the area who's, you know, familiar with the ecology.
That was a moment with Bean.
Man. Hall of Fame right there.
Batteries all are just dying.
Mother effing fame. I'm so happy when I hear the music, and it's not my music, and it's not my name. So happy. Uh-huh. Love it so much. We've been on fire lately with the moments with them. I got to say, we're back. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning with our friend Ralph Garman with the great hair. What's going on, Ralph?
Does Tom Brady have bigger problems than just 4-game suspensions and deflated balls?
I hope so.
Could be.
Yeah.
Us Weekly reporting that trouble in paradise between Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen. Intense fighting going on in the Brady household. I'm sorry, the Bündchen household. The Patriots quarterback is very nasty and irritable, say friends.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
And the missus has spent a bit of time chatting with a divorce attorney.
No.
Oh. Oh, this makes me so happy.
Allie,
why would,
your thoughts?
Why would that make you happy, Ralph?
Because I want nothing but bad things for him.
Those are two of the most beautiful human beings
they are
in the
attractive.
World coming
nothing
together
wrong there.
To create more beautiful. They are repopulating beauty back into the world. Let's let them be.
He is a dick.
Nope.
This is not end times. We're not trying to repopulate the species.
It is.
The divorce attorney reportedly asked Gisele Bündchen, do you think Tom may have been cheating? She said, what do you think?
Shut up.
She didn't really say that.
That's a good guess, though.
It's a good guess. It is a good guess. What everybody's saying. Yeah.
Leave Tom Brady alone, right?
Thank you. Thank you, future president.
Future president.
You want
Donald,
Trump on your side for anything?
No, I really don't.
No, it's bad.
Hey, remember the guy who said that Anthony Horowitz was his name? He's the author of the next James Bond novel. He said Idris Elba was too street to play James Bond. That's why you could never see him in that role.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, well, that means black, right? That's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's like when people say there was an urban feel to it. I mean, there's code words now for subtle racism that I think we all are well-versed in the glossary, sadly, for those people at this point.
Yeah, we just talked to Bruce Endicott. We know about that. We know how that works.
And Anthony now is apologizing for his remarks. He's saying he was mortified that anyone could have gotten the idea from what he said, and he didn't mean to cause any offense.
Look, let me just say this. Even if you say everything perfectly, people are going to be outraged. So, you know.
Yeah. You best not even skirt around those edges, really.
Maybe don't take that head on.
Yeah. It is true that most people took the term street to mean black. The rest of the people just didn't get it. Black Bonds Matter is a new group, by the way. I don't know if you know that or not. But
Black Bonds?
Black Bonds Matter.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, so... While we're talking about movies, Kate Blanchett, very lovely and talented actress, one of my favorites. She is going to be making a new biopic about with an interesting subject matter. Now, you'll scoff initially when I say this, but I think when I tell you a little bit more in detail, you might think that's a pretty cool idea. She's going to do the life story of Lucille Ball up on the big screen.
I like it.
Now, most people just think of Lucille Ball, they think of that just god-awful sitcom. I love Lucy. Just awful. Ugh.
Are you serious?
It was fine for the time, Allie, but come on. Let's get
that
real.
That holds up?
No, not at
what
all.
What is wrong with you?
You know that one episode where she wants to get into the show? She wants to be in
okay,
the show and play
at
the club?
If you're going to say it's repetitive, so is Three's Company. And Three's Company
is crap.
It's amazing.
Oh, dear Lord.
What's wrong with you?
The show is what it was. But the real interesting part about Lucille Ball is what an amazing... creator and entrepreneur and powerhouse in the entertainment industry she was, especially in television, when there were none. There were no women doing what she did. She invented...
Yeah, she ran her own studio, right?
She ran her own studio, basically invented the three-camera sitcom format along with her husband, Desi Arnaz. They were a champion for a lot of TV shows that couldn't find a home anywhere else. They produced Star Trek. I mean, they really were visionaries for the time, and I think there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that would be very cool to see up on the big screen. Not to mention, they had a very tempestuous personal relationship, and Desi was cheating like Tom Brady out there all the time.
Wow, that much?
So, I think this could be cool. No word yet on who played Desi Arnaz, but...
probably our friend Rudy.
You think?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good mix.
It'll be about Lucy's marriage to Desi and their career together and their children. So,
Ralph, I don't want to
subject matter.
Jump in and steal your thunder if you were going to mention this, but I believe what I heard yesterday is who it's being written by was fascinating to me as well. Did you see that? Is that in the article that you have?
Michael Bay?
No, I heard Aaron Sorkin is writing it.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
Because if that's the case,
he likes that true fiction stuff.
Yeah, then I think we have an expectation of some real quality in the script that he's.
Yeah, Michael Bay would not be a good choice.
No, that would not.
Not what trying to get at.
Not, right.
And sad news, Avril Lavigne and her husband, Chad Kroeger, have called it quits after 2 years of marriage. Avril posted this on Instagram yesterday. It's with a heavy heart that Chad and I announce our separation today. Though through not only the marriage, but music as well, we've created many unforgettable moments. We are still, and forever will be, the best of friends. We'll always care deeply for each other, but seriously, Nickelback, right?
Was that last part in the...
I assumed. I think it was left
like
off.
Writing.
I just assumed that that's where she was going with it. So I kind of helped her out.
All right.
It's my job here to help out the celebrities get their points.
It's nice of you.
Thank you. Today's celebrity birthdays, Rita Volk. Amy from Faking It, 25 years old today. Snowboarder Shaun White, celebrates the 29th birthday today. Andrew McMahon from The Wilderness celebrates 33. Charlie Sheen is 50 years old today.
I'm an F-18, bro.
Sex Pistols guitarist Steve Jonesy Jones is 60 years old today. Has anyone ever had a more creative nickname than Jonesy? I think not.
Probably not.
All these celebrities were born on today, the 3rd of September.
It was the 3rd of September.
Ah, yeah, nailed right? It. Come on. Smoof. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look, here's all I'm saying. I'm saying there are rules in the world, and they're there for a reason.
I agree. I'm a rule follower from way back. You know me.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up on the program today. Also, we'll talk sports with Jim Rome, and we'll get you out of your traffic tickets in a minute with Lee Rittenberg. So what's your complaint yesterday?
All right, look. Everybody has to sit through meetings. Mm-hmm. Meetings suck.
Yeah.
Just to start with, they suck.
Yes. You know, I realized as we walked towards the meeting yesterday, it's the same feeling I get in my stomach as when the cop pulls up next to me on the freeway.
Yeah, that's true.
I know I haven't done anything wrong, and yet I still feel like somehow, someway, this is going to go horribly wrong for me. And I'm going to end up being punished for something regardless of what I did or did not do.
We made some references on social media. And by the way, Kevin Bean, Facebook account up and running, Twitter accounts for the show and from everybody on the show and Instagram. We're everywhere. And we made some remarks yesterday about how we were called into a meeting. And it was a fairly serious meeting in that the big, big boss was there in addition to the regular size boss. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when guys in suits start talking to you about your radio show, they never call you in to say good job.
You know what? Really doing great.
We just wanted you guys to know that we couldn't be more impressed and happy with the work that you're doing.
That doesn't happen.
No. Keep doing exactly what you're doing is never a phrase you
hear. The walk of death down that hallway.
Right.
It pretty much was. And we were all looking around going, we're not all probably going to make it out of there alive, but I just want to say it's been good serving with you and, you know, keep in touch wherever you end up.
They flew Bean down for this meeting.
Yeah.
That's how important it was.
It was that kind of
Bean had to be there in person. Couldn't do it over the speakerphone. Couldn't do it via email. He had to be in the room.
But here's the issue.
There's the rub.
Is that we had a meeting a couple of weeks ago with everybody. And we pretty much stood outside the door and said, no one ask a question. No mm-hmm. questions. Mm-hmm. If you have a question, write it down. You can talk to somebody later. Just do not extend the meeting.
That's standard operational procedure.
For any reason.
That was the meeting with all the lawyers from New York to come in to tell us why we couldn't call someone a dick on the radio, right?
Right.
That was what that meeting was about.
Yes.
Okay. You can tell I learned that lesson, by the way.
Right.
And
so we get the meeting.
But the do not engage policy stands. It's just you do not ask questions. You don't really. Oh, can I get clarification on? There's none of those kinds of statements being made. Here's goal one: get in, let them beat you up, and then get out.
Just get out alive.
It's just rope-a-dope.
That's it.
Just cover up. Just lean against the ropes. Let them just wail on you until they get exhausted, until they no longer can punch, and then just get to your corner. Just get to your corner. That's the only directive.
Don't even throw a jab. Just nothing.
Do not engage.
Nothing offensive.
Do not open yourself up for any reason.
You're not trying to get any points on the board. You're not trying to win
correct.
A single round.
Try to survive the fight.
So you basically, you're taking a dive.
Yes.
Okay.
Is this the first time you've heard this?
But well, not our boy Bean. No. Not Rocky Balboa Bean out there in the middle of the ring just throwing haymakers. Guys, swinging wild and Apollo Creed's tagging him every time. And the rest of us have to sit there and just watch the carnage. And then it goes on and on and on and on.
To be fair,
was it 3 hours? Was it a 3-hour meeting yesterday?
Yeah, at least.
About 2.5 at least. Yeah. I hate the meetings as much as you guys.
Really
I do.
By the way you
I
extend
really...
them with your behavior.
You
know
I hate
you
the don't meetings do? As... You don't shorten them.
Look, I hate the meetings as much as you guys, but since we're there and we so rarely are face-to-face...
No, sir. No.
What if we have legitimate concerns or legitimate questions?
There are avenues that you can travel down if you need those questions, if you really need those questions answered, and I find it hard to believe you needed any of the questions you asked that answered.
Now, Bean is beautiful because he'll ask stuff that's not related to the meeting or the topic.
Yeah.
Hey, I was coming over from the airport and I heard a different radio station. You guys know anything about this?
What's that radio station? Where did that come from? I was impressed. I was impressed by their quality.
I lost like a week at the end of my life on that question alone. But my soul just died.
Have you heard what K-Nut is doing up there?
in Washington? Oh, they've changed how their commercials work. Have you heard about that? Oh, they have a different rotation. What? Are you kidding me? Now we're having a meeting about another radio station?
Oh.
I thought we were talking about the business and things we could do.
No, they were beating us up. You shut the F up. That's how it works.
Then we're having a meeting about this radio station. You want to talk about other radio stations.
Don't bring up extra stuff.
I wasn't trying to extend the meeting.
Did you did you not bring up a radio station that you'd never heard of that was in Southern California that nobody was talking about?
You needed an answer for, though.
In the meeting.
When he said, oh, yeah, it's up in Oxnard, that should have been the end of it. Whoa, it was a booming signal.
The signal came in so clear. What? I was driving from the airport, and I was overwhelmed by the power of the sound.
Those are just melting. It was just soul-crushing.
Allie, tell the kids about the notes that Kevin was passing around like an 8-year-old in third grade.
Yeah, thanks for forcing me to act like an 8-year-old, Bean.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't hand any of those notes to anybody else because they all know the rules.
I think the first note said, please stop asking questions.
Just stop asking questions.
Love K.E., which I thought, okay, he didn't even have time to finish Kevin.
I was in a hurry.
And he hands it to Bean.
Because he was on his fifth question about that radio station signal.
He hands it to Bean. We're all kind of laughing, and Bean looks at him and goes,
yeah.
Then asked another question.
And then he kept going.
Yeah.
And about 20 more minutes go by, and I see Kevin furiously writing another note, and all it said was, S-T-F-U.
Yeah.
Which, kids, look it up.
How would you gauge my participation in social media?
That happened.
I would like someone to evaluate how effective I'm being when I'm being in social media.
Yes, you did.
Because I think I'm fairly omnipresent when it comes to Twitter, and I'm even periscoping now. Could someone give me some feedback on my participation? Oh, I have to say.
Did anybody see my periscope? Do you guys remember when I talked about chocolate milk?
And they're so busy telling us what you're doing is wrong. Everything you're doing is entertaining no one. And we're like, oh, okay, I hear that. But let me ask you this question. Just wasn't it enough? Why were you inviting more abuse?
Look, here's the thing. I just feel, how do I describe this? We had to be there anyway.
Right.
So
right.
Why
did
not...
we have to be there all
for 3 hours?
No, but why not try to get something out of it? I guess
what
that's what I
was saying.
What
were the rest of us getting out of your questions about another radio station?
What would your suggestions be about how we approach this demographic in the audience? Because here's my thought. I think we should do a contest. Really? Should we do a contest? That's a novel freaking idea. You want to give something away on the radio? Thanks, Marconi, for reinventing the wheel.
Guys, I'm just as God made me.
Well,
that's the problem.
That shows you that God is a mess.
Just announced, Judge Richard Berman has nullified the NFL's 4-game suspension of Tom Brady for his role in the Patriots ball deflation scandal. Pending an appeal, Brady will start on opening night 1 week from tonight.
Boo!
40-page decision has just been released, by the way, from the judge. So people are going to be going through it and giving us the details. Kevin, you were asking about the fine. We don't know about the fine yet. We don't know if the fine sticks, but I imagine if the suspension is overturned, I imagine there's no fine, too. Looks like he got away with it. I'm looking at a picture of that smug bastard walking out of court right now.
Here's the thing.
We didn't need to hear from you.
Are you sure?
Yeah, on this topic, I'm pretty sure.
I am not going to gloat because there's nothing to gloat about. This had to do with facts and justice was served.
Right.
This will be my last comment on the matter.
Do you promise?
Nope.
Oh, come on.
All right. We'll talk to Jim Rome about there'll be more details available at the top of the hour. That's coming up at the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, it's always a thrill to welcome back our friend Lee Rittenberg. He is an attorney and he is the man behind Traffic Defenders. He has gotten more people off. Excuse me. He has defended more Californians against traffic violations than anyone in the history of the state, very successfully defending thousands of people on speeding tickets and red light and stop sign tickets and proper turns, DUIs, and so much more. Lee, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Fine. That reminds me of the old joke, why do people like attorneys? Because they get you off. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Lee, it's great to catch up with you again. It's been a while. Refresh our listeners' memories of how Traffic Defenders got started way, way back in 1992.
Well, I actually in 91, while I was still in law school, I got a ticket myself. and I went to court to fight it using evidence law. I was taking an evidence class at the time, and while I was there, it just looked like a mill, people going before the judge, being found guilty, guilty, guilty. And I didn't think people were well prepared in getting the kind of legal defense that they deserve. So the idea was really born there, that when I got out of law school, I thought there was really a niche to be filled. And I that day actually won my own ticket using the evidence law I had used, I had learned in my evidence class. And then ever since then, you know, I've been defending drivers from down in San Diego to up in San Francisco.
Is it your opinion that most of these tickets are given just as a way for the state to make revenue? Is that what's happening?
Well, it certainly is a way to do that. I particularly agree with that in the field of these red light camera tickets, where I think they're more about increasing a municipality's revenue than they are about public safety. Because I've noticed that in all the areas where they have discontinued the cameras, it was because these cameras weren't making money. The only areas that have continued to use these red light cameras are areas like Beverly Hills, where their program is turning a profit. So,
because it's like $10,000 for running a red light, Beverly Hills.
I think actually the fine is $500, which is a real chunk of money, and you get enough of them. I guess that means 20 of them, and you're at $10,000.
Wow, that's incredible that it's that much.
Well,
okay,
you know, the city doesn't get the full $500. You know, it's parceled out between the court system and the municipality and the various state agencies, but they do get a slice of it, and you know, you get enough of them, and then it pays for the cost of hiring the vendor to install the cameras and maintain the cameras. And anyway, so I do agree that that especially with the cameras, it's more about making money than it is about public safety.
Are judges sad to see you in their courtroom because they're so used to it just being a churn and burn situation, and then there's Lee Rittenberg standing up and he's got 20 pages he wants to read into the record? Are they bummed when you're defending a client?
It depends on the judge. You know, some judges do take that attitude. They're like, oh, one more attorney, I'll just pretend like I'm listening and then find the person guilty, and and I wish I could do this quicker. But then there are some that have intellectual curiosity and actually want to learn traffic law and are pleased that there's someone in there giving cogent, logical arguments on particular traffic violations.
Is there a judge someplace that knows you well enough that when you stand up, he goes, oh, come on?
come on, like not you again?
Yeah.
Well, no one ever said that to me, but yeah, you do get that feeling sometimes that that you know, oh, here comes this blowhard again.
Lee Rittenberger is on the phone, attorney for Traffic Defenders, trafficdefenders.com. We want to take some calls from our listeners, Lee, if that's okay, if they have some specific questions about the types of things that you do and the types of violations that they're trying to get out of, because that's our audience right there at 1-800-520-1067. But let me ask you this before we go to some calls, because this is a question that we hear a lot when we get on this topic. There are a lot of mistakes that you can make as the driver. But one of them is the way you react when you are pulled over by a police officer. What's important for people to keep in mind before they even gotten a ticket, as the lights are still being turned on and you're pulling over to the side of the road? What sorts of things should you keep in mind as the officer approaches your window, Lee?
Well, great question, first of all. I would say less is more. Say very little, because what the officer is going to do is try to get you to make an admission right off the bat because he knows you're nervous. He or she will say things like, if, for instance, in the speeding situation, do you know how fast you were going? Are you in a hurry? Do you know why I pulled you over? And you don't want to answer those questions in a way that incriminates yourself. So don't admit the crime is the first.
But if he says, do you know why I pulled you over, and you say, oh, I have no idea, officer, will he not think that you're sort of being a smartass?
He could, but that's not an answer that incriminates you, so that's not a terrible thing to say.
What should you say to, do you know how fast you were going?
What would I reply?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say, well, I don't think I was going so fast so that you should have pulled me over. Or I would just say nothing.
What about the whole keeping up with traffic thing?
Well, the flow of traffic argument is not a good argument from a legal perspective.
Scratch that out.
Because saying everyone around me was also speeding, so why was I singled out, is not a good argument to make, because essentially you're admitting to speeding. And the officer does have the discretion to pull over any law-breaking vehicle in a group of law-breaking vehicles that they want to.
Okay. All right. So say as little as possible. Don't admit guilt. Anything else you can offer during the traffic stop?
Can I just add on that?
Yeah. Sure.
Because when I cross-examine an officer, the first thing I'm going to cross-examine him or her about is their memory. And if you say very little, they're not going to remember you when I hold the trial 5 or 6 months later. And if I can get them to be honest and say, you know what, I've given out 500 tickets since the ticket I gave out to your client, I really don't remember. And why don't they remember? Because you didn't say anything or cause a fuss. Then you can win that way, because the officer has to have a present recollection of that event at the time he's testifying. And if you can get him to say, you know what, I really don't remember, and he wouldn't remember as well if you didn't say anything, if he became as forgettable as possible, then you can win that way. So it's always good to say nothing or as little as possible, and you don't really want to make a fuss at the scene in the field, because they'll remember you better if you do.
So I shouldn't use this horn?
Lee, what about asking for leniency? What about saying to the police officer, I'm really sorry, is there any way you can just give me a warning? How does that usually go?
Well, you can ask, but I haven't seen a lot of success with that. If you want to make sure you ask before they start writing the ticket, because once they put pen to paper, that's all she wrote. The fat lady has sung. So they're not going to stop writing the ticket. So you can request it, but if they've taken the time to pull you over, they're probably not going to give you a warning.
And no, just in general, no chanting, piggy, 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 fry me like bacon. Don't do that.
Man. You're a terrible human.
Just ask it. Just a lot of listeners may want to know. All right. TrafficDefenders.com. Our friend Lee Rittenberg on the line. We're going to take your questions for Lee, too. If you've got a question about traffic and traffic tickets, 1-800-520-1067 right after this on K-Rock. We'll talk to our friend Jim Rome from the Beast AM 980 in about 20 minutes with the continuing details on Tom Brady winning against the NFL. Right now, though, we're talking about getting you out of traffic tickets with Lee Rittenberg. He's on the line. He's an attorney with Traffic Defenders at TrafficDefenders.com. He's the man you want if you absolutely can't afford to get another ticket. Lee, you still there with us, buddy?
I am. Very nice of you to say. Thank you. Thank you.
Fantastic. We appreciate you being with us this morning. We want to get in as many calls as we can at 1-800-520-1067. Boy, we got some great calls here. Let's start with Scott, please. Kevin on line 5. He's calling from Tarzana. He's got I'm sure a question a lot of people want the answer to. Hey, Scott, you're on with Lee Rittenberg. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you very much.
How are you doing, Lee?
Go ahead.
So my question to you guys, or to Lee, is with regards to the radar detectors, radar and LIDAR that police officers use.
Right.
How accurate are those, and are they hard to dismiss?
Well, first of all, radar tickets are actually the easiest tickets to win because whenever there's a radar ticket, the officer has to bring into court an engineering and traffic survey to justify the posted speed limit in the area where you got the ticket. And if he or she does not bring that in, you win. And even if they bring it in, that survey has to be dated within the last 5 years. And if it's not, you win. And even if they bring in the survey and it is dated within the last 5 years, if the technical information inside the survey itself does not justify the posted speed limit in the area where you got your ticket, you win. And the reason you win in all of those circumstances is that at law, it's considered a speed trap, and the matter has to be immediately dismissed. So whenever radar is used, it's actually a good thing, because it requires the cop to jump through a number of hoops that I've just outlined in order to sustain the conviction. In terms of accuracy, if the officers do not bring in a calibration certificate to show that the device they're using is reliable, then you can argue that it's not accurate. Although, as a general rule, laser is more accurate than radar.
Scott, so great question. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you calling. We got to move on. Let's go to Saul. He's in Los Angeles. Line three, please. Saul, you're on with Lee Rittenberg, traffic defender.
Yeah. So I got two citations. One was a correctional, one was a red light. And then he had me sign both of the tickets, but he only handed me the citation, the correctional citation. And I didn't get the red light ticket. Like, I got it through mail. So my question is, could I fight it? And would it be my word against his?
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question. You can fight red light tickets, and that's the thing about these red light tickets. You know, Big Brother's watching, and he's in a neighborhood near you. And, of course, these tickets are sent to you by mail. But you can beat these tickets because the law says that there has to be a clear photo of both the driver's face and the license plate in the same photographic frame. If there's no still photo of both the driver's face and the license plate in the same picture square, then your identity of the driver has not been proven. Second, the law says that the officer has to testify that there are signs in all directions warning of the cameras. It doesn't matter whether or not the signs are there. It matters whether or not in court the officer testifies that the signs are there. And if that testimony is omitted, I've won cases that way. And finally, the law says that it's the government, not the contracting company, that has to be operating the cameras. And they usually have one officer that handles all of these red light camera tickets. And that officer will often testify that it's the company that installed the cameras, the company that installed the film, the company that develops the photos, the company that repairs the cameras. And then you have the argument, hey, it's really the company that's operating the system, not the government, as required by law. And using these arguments, you should fight and can win your red light camera ticket. As to the correction part of it, get any law enforcement agency to sign off on it, whether it's a tint or a bad taillight, and they'll dismiss it for a nominal dismissal fee.
Saul, great question. Thank you so much for that. We appreciate it. Boy, Lee's got the angles, doesn't he?
He does.
Listen to this, Lee. I just want to ask real quick if you've ever heard of this happening before, because this happened to me 2 or 3 years ago. I went through a red light and got pulled over by a police officer, and he gave me a ticket. Then in the mail, I also got a red light camera ticket for the same event. So I decided I was going to fight that, so I made a court date for that. But the ticket that the officer gave me had to be paid before that court date. So I paid that ticket that I was given by the cop, then went to court to try to fight it, and they said, you can't fight it because you've already paid it. Boom. I ended up getting dinged twice for going through the red light once.
And that's why we're not asking you questions, Bean.
What do you think of that, Lee? Is that crazy?
That is really strange. You should not have... it's kind of double jeopardy, what they call in law. You can't be convicted twice of the same crime. What happened there, it sounds like, is many courts require you to post bail in order to get a trial date. And then if you win the trial, they send you back the money. If you lose the trial, you just forfeit the money you've already posted. It sounds to me that when you posted the bail or paid the ticket, they weren't clear that you wanted a trial. And that's what you were doing, so that they just took the money and you were convicted on that. And then, of course, you also had the red light camera matter. So that is really strange, and it sounds like you may still have recourse on that. I know probably there's a lot of time that's passed, and that could prevent any recourse. But a lot of times you can undo points, because if you just send in the money and you don't do a trial, you can very often, if not more than 6 months have passed, request the court to reopen the case, and they'll generally do it. And then once it's reopened, everything goes back to square one as if you had just gotten the ticket, and then you can fight the ticket, and maybe the cop doesn't show up, and you win that way, or maybe the cop will do a deal with you, so they knock it down to a zero-pointer, or maybe you'll just win it outright in a trial. But that's a really strange occurrence. I've never heard anybody else tell me that.
How about that, Bean? He's never, in 20, over 25 years, he's never heard that.
Yep, that's how I roll. Well, listen, wow. I should be following my own advice. The next time that happens to me and I get a ticket, I should be going to trafficdefenders.com. I'm an idiot for trying to take care of it on my own. That's the website, trafficdefenders.com, or call 800-210-7477. You won't remember that, so just remember the website. Lee Rittenberg has been our guest. We'll do it again in a few months. It's always great to have you on, sir. Have a great day.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
All right, Ralph Kramer, you're on, man. What is it? Go.
Taylor Swift's a racist.
What are you talking about now?
Well, let me tell you a little story about her new video, Wildest Dreams, which debuted at the MTV Video Music Awards on Sunday. It takes place in colonial-era Africa when the whites come in and colonize Africa.
Okay.
And people are saying it's racist. It romanticizes white colonialism, and it's got an all-white cast in African landscapes, making Africa look like there's only white people in it.
Wop, wop, wop.
So racism runs rampant in Taylor Swift's heart, says America.
Who in America said that?
The Americans. The director of the video, Joseph Kahn, has refuted the claims of racism by releasing the following tweet. My longtime producer, Jill Harden, is a super hot black woman. Well, then,
no.
There can't be any. There
can't
be.
Oh, that's not true.
That is what he said.
I heard that his.
So it can't be racist, especially if the black woman's super hot. If she was just lukewarm or maybe ugly, then you could say probably racism. But hot black women are never capable of being involved in racist events.
I heard that his defense was that it was misinterpreted. It was not about colonialism at all, but that it was. It was a movie set. It was a set on a period film crew in
about
the 1950s or something like that.
Colonization.
Like it was an
out
of Africa type thing.
Right.
Like English patient type thing is what
so
they're
doing. So
let's
celebrate the whites colonizing Africa is what he was doing. Let's pretend to make a movie about the good old days when whitey ran the world. That's what he was saying. So first she farts and then she attacks the blacks.
Right.
I think we can all agree we're seeing the beginning of the end of Taylor
Guilty.
Swift. Finally, this racist farter is getting what she deserves because the truth is coming out. And now we know, as she starts her inevitable long slide to obscurity, that we will not put up with her racism or her smelly toots.
What even? God!
Mm-hmm. When I woke up this morning, I didn't think that it would be the beginning of a day where Tom Brady would walk free and Taylor Swift would end up in jail for life.
It's
but that's apparently where it's headed.
End times.
Great day.
Racist Swift, Free Brady, it's the end times. It's dogs and cats sleeping together.
Yeah.
Mass hysteria.
And you know, I like Taylor Swift.
Right. Okay.
Beyond cute. She's
right.
Really tall. Well, you
right.
Know.
Right.
She's not going to go for me, that's for sure.
Right. If she was a little bit shorter, she
for
would be
a lot
yours.
Of
she would be yours, Rodney. If she was just a little bit more your height. Meghan Trainor is home resting and recovering after throat surgery. Billboard.com yeah. Says she posted a few pics yesterday with the caption, I look so hurt. Ha ha ha. I survived, though. Thank you, Dr. Nasiri, for being my hero. Now just napping all day long on the couch with mama and getting free head rubs. Any movie suggestions? She had to cancel her summer tour after she hemorrhaged a vocal cord for the second time in a month.
Oh, man.
Dude. She had a blowout down there, and they needed to get in there and fix her up. Doctors say after a small grace period, Meghan Trainor will be able to sing again. So she's taking that that period off because she's all about the grace.
Yes.
No.
Programming note. Tonight on Loveline, featuring our own Dr. Drew Pinsky and Dreamboat Mike Catherwood.
Mm-hmm.
Their very special guest this evening will be a gentleman that I hold in the highest esteem. His name is Charles Connor.
He Seriously.
Is the original drummer for Little Richard, great rock and roll drummer, pretty much invented the rock and roll backbeat. He's got a new book out, and he's going to be the guest on Loveline tonight.
Awesome.
How fun is that?
Is he going to tell people how to stay funky and juicy?
He better.
Okay.
Because, listen, Kevin, it's all about, first of all, you got to keep it funky.
Keep it funky, sorry.
And you got to be juicy.
Right.
K-Rock is the greatest radio station
in the world.
Because y'all keep it funky.
Right?
And juicy.
Yes!
That's true.
Without Charles reminding me to keep it juicy, I might dry up.
Because I need moisture. Who's with me?
Come on. How did that come up?
I don't need moisture, said the Kev dog at one point.
Come on. Today. We were not even talking about this.
I need moisture. Yes, I have had a granola bar.
Kevin is kind of drying out. You're like, I'm not. You're like man jerky. There's a lot of dryness around you.
Kevin, did you not say, I need moisture?
I did, but Allie took a picture of the pizza crust that I left on my plate. And then,
like a child, so she was like a child, you just eat all the cheese and sauce part and leave the crust behind, like my five-year-old does.
And I know that the word moisture drives her crazy, so I said, I need moisture. It was really kind of just driving crazy.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
That's so bad.
No one even caught it, Allie.
All right.
Just move along.
All right.
All these stars were born on today, the 3rd of September.
It was the 3rd of September. That day I'll always remember. Yes, I will.
Sex Pistols guitarist Steve Jonesy Jones, 60 years old today. Charlie Sheeny Sheen is 50 years old today.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Shaun White, legendary skateboarder, 29 years old today. Actress Rita Volk, Amy from Faking It, 25. And Andrew McMahon, who's the singer for The Wilderness? He's 33 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You can watch them on your TV if you got the showtime. You can listen to them on the radio on AM 980 The Beast from 9 till noon. Talking about our friend Jim Rome from The Jim Rome Show. Hey, Romy, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Well,
wonderful.
We're fine,
never been better.
little disappointed that we were so close to getting rid of that national menace that is Tom Brady. We had the opportunity to put him behind bars for life, and somehow he got away one more time. What up, Jim?
Hey, Allie. What's up?
Hey, Jim.
You're having yourself a day, aren't you?
Having a day.
All right. So as Allie, I'm sure, has been talking about all morning long, the judge nullified the 4-game suspension. So what that means, guys, Brady gets over. Commissioner Roger Goodell gets worked again. And Brady is clear to play in the opener September 10th against the Steelers. Vindication for Tom Brady, who had been characterized as a cheater and a liar, and utter humiliation for the commissioner, who gets embarrassed again. It is a terrible look for him and the league. But mostly him.
Is the fine gone as well, or just the game suspended? Tied together?
Now this process is going to continue. One more thing about that. Let's not think that the NFL is just going to let this slide. They will appeal. This thing's going to continue on. And it's not going away. It's not done yet. But for right now, the thing that's so bad about this, it's Bounty Gate. It's Ray Rice. It's Greg Hardy. It's Adrian Peterson. And now it's Tom Brady. This is not a one-off. All of these cases were overturned, vacated, or reduced, and all mishandled by Goodell, and they all blew up in his face.
So you're saying that they're going to appeal. Isn't there some sense in, okay, let's just move on with business?
No, definitely not.
They can't
definitely
do that.
No, they're all in. They are all in. And that's why it's such a bad look for Goodell, because he was all in again like he was in all of those cases. So while we're all sick of it and they should just assume defeat, turn the page and keep moving, they won't. They won't. They'll go right to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, and they'll try and have their case heard there. But I don't think it's going to fare much better for them there. This thing's not over yet, but for Brady, man. Brady, can you imagine the crazy fuel that Tom Brady is going to have? I mean, imagine the way Allie is popping off today and how arrogant she's being.
Yeah.
Multiply that by 1 million, and you have Brady. I mean, I hate to say it, but should we just give this guy another ring right now?
Why not?
What a crushing defeat. Who was the backup?
Garoppolo. That guy is crying.
Garoppolo's
like,
he's swinging from the rafters right now.
How bent is he? Sorry, Graps. It's over. Thanks for coming.
This is a chance.
But Jim, there's two things going on here, and they're mutually exclusive in some cases, which is A, is he guilty? B, was it proved that he was guilty? And I would say yes to A and no to B. I mean, I think this is the right decision, but it doesn't mean he didn't do it. It doesn't mean he's innocent. It just means it wasn't proved that he was guilty. Do you agree?
Well, I mean, there's something to that. I mean, the way the NFL laid that out, obviously the judge was not buying any of what the league was selling. I mean, he was not sold on the evidence that the league presented, and obviously he didn't think the investigation was fair. And most of all, there's something else we haven't talked about. The judge is ruling, in effect, that although they collectively bargained for Goodell to have all this power, the power to do whatever the hell he wants, whenever he wants, that he's the judge, the jury, and the executioner. That's the way it's always been. Not anymore. The judge is saying, no, that's not all right. You can't bring the hammer down and suspend a guy four games for being, quote, generally aware that a rule may have been broken. So the NFL thought they had a much better case than they did, and it's a bad look. Hey, remember the judge was saying, no, wait a minute, did you just compare possibly deflating footballs to PEDs?
Right.
I mean, they were saying nonsense like that, and it came back to bite him in the ass, understandably so.
It seems like Roger Goodell personally offended this judge.
Oh, he was offended. He was definitely offended. Like, do I look that stupid to you? Do I look that dumb to you? You're going to bring this before me, and that's all you have? That's all the evidence you have? That's the case you have? Now, he was definitely personally offended by that.
All right, let me ask Ally McKay a question then in front of Jim Rome. Jim, you be the judge here.
If you do, you'll get an answer.
Ally, you'll be the witness for the defense. Do you believe that Tom Brady didn't know that somebody working for him was deflating those footballs in that game?
Do I think that he possibly felt that the football felt maybe a little under PSI? Possibly. He's a brilliant guy. He knows how he likes his footballs. Did he order it to be done? Did he? No.
My question to you is, do you think that he knew that they were deflating footballs?
No.
Really?
No.
Ally, answer
Judge,
the question.
That's a blind spot, right?
Ally, answer the question.
He might have known.
I think what the judge is saying, though, that being generally aware of something that may or may not have happened was not worth a four-game suspension. Remember, the judge told these guys, work it out, settle it, and they couldn't. So it was either four games or no games, and the judge decided that it was no games and that Brady did not order the code red.
If we had a good commissioner of the NFL, would he have undershot that a little bit? Would he have tried a different settlement or a one-game suspension or something smaller that wasn't so ridiculous?
Yeah, it was too onerous. I mean, they came out from the very jump, like, let's get this guy.
Yeah,
and I'm not gonna say I'm not going to say it was personal or
it was
a vendetta, but they came out so quickly and they were so heavy-handed. And really, what did they have? And why did they do it? Why does anybody, write this down, Sanchez, why does anybody do anything because they can? The NFL thought that they could, and in the end, they couldn't. And they should have known better because of all the cases I mentioned. They keep getting worked in high-profile cases.
Hmm. Our friend, Cousin Sal, you know him, Jim, from ESPN, he had the best tweet on this morning about the Brady beating the suspension. He said, yeah, but he's still ugly. And I think that's the takeaway, right?
Wow, great take.
All right, let me ask you one more thing. Let's cleanse our palate with some good news.
Calling somebody ugly is not a take.
All right.
Saying something sucks is not a take.
Fans have been very nervous at various times throughout the season, but have they turned it on at the right time, end of August, early September, and essentially have now, as a result of sweeping the Giants this week, essentially they have clinched the division. They've won the NL West. It's looking good, right?
I'm going to say you answered your own question. I mean, it was just a few weeks back that I was thinking these guys are gripping and they're melting down, and here comes the Giants, and that's not the case at all. Clayton Kershaw did exactly what you'd expect last night, guys, from a $300 million man. He was filthy. There was badassery. Struck out 15. Complete game. The Giants were playing for their entire season, and he choked them out. And being the SoCal native that I am, I'm not going to say that I didn't enjoy that. I don't even root, but when it's SoCals v. NoCals, you got to be true to your native upbringing. Yes,
exactly.
Yes, the Giants are done, and the Dodgers did what they had to do. Thanks for coming.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to leave us with a positive taste in our mouth as a result of this conversation.
Don't you feel positive?
Get rid of all that ugly Brady talk. Jim, we'll be on the radio from 9 till noon today on AM 980 The Beast. You should listen to all 3 hours and look for him on Showtime as well. A lot of fun, sir. We'll do it again next week. Thank you.
You guys are awesome.
Thanks, Jim. Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky is still to come. Chief Keef is in the news. I don't know that I can think of off the top of my head any song that he has been on. I think he's more famous for his legal troubles. Seems like every time I see Chief Keef in the news, he's getting arrested, usually for some drug charges or for he was a guy recently who got paid to play at a frat house and then didn't show and kept the money. He's always getting some sort of legal trouble. But now he's in the news for a completely different reason, and that is that he has had another kid with a different baby mama, and they have come up with, shall we say, an unusual name.
This is why I love celebrities, because they are willing to name their kids such effed up stuff. So Chief Keef says he talked to the baby mama and they agreed that their baby should be named Snow, S-N-O, Filmon.com, F-I-L-M-O-N-D-O-T-C-O-M, Cozart, which is his real last name. And Filmon.com is the record company that is putting out his album?
Or the website that's or the website? His album. Yeah.
It's to promote an album that's going to be coming out on Philmon Music and Mondo Tunes on September the 18th. So, this is Chief Keef, the same guy who was supposed to perform as the hologram in Chicago last month, by the way. And then they wouldn't let him do that, because he had all those outstanding warrants in Illinois. Yeah, so as a means of album promotion, it used to be that rappers would walk onto the stage at award shows with a sign that says, "My new record is dropping on September 18th. Now they're taking it to the next level and naming a kid, again, snowphilmon.com. That's the kid's first and middle names.
That's good work right there.
That's extreme promotion for a record right there. And I guess the hope for that was exactly what's happening, which is that it created a lot of noise, a lot of press around the fact that he gave a kid that name, and maybe he's getting the promotion that he hoped out of it. But you don't stick a kid with that name, though, right? You don't make that kid grow up being named Snow Philmon, do you?
Well, no, but it'll change with his next album, I imagine, right? He'll legally change his son's name every time.
But my favorite part, not only the whole name thing, if the baby turns out not to be his, they're going to rescind the rights to that name. Because now it's up for debate. This might not be his baby. Oh. What is happening?
So if it's not his baby, then he legally will keep that baby from having this name?
Yep.
Wow. This is special in every way.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree that Chief Keef is making a lot of good decisions. I think we can all agree on that, right? But it also gets us into one of our favorite topics that we haven't talked about in a long time, which is crazy names. I love that there are people out there that have the names that they have. And we want to hear from you if you are one of those people, if you named one of those people, if you know one of those people, 1-800-520-1067. I just brought up a website, you guys, called the 100 Most Unfortunate Names in Human History. And some of these names, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like to be Judge Willie Stroker. I mean, it just seems like that's asking a lot of a person, is to go through life being named Willie Stroker. How'd you like to be a woman named Chardonnay Hooker?
That's
an unfortunate last name already, but aren't you making it worse for your little baby girl Hooker by giving her the name Chardonnay? Aren't you demanding that she become a stripper
if you name
her Chardonnay Hooker? How about the former mayor, Kevin, of Fort Wayne, Indiana, Harry Balls? What about Mr. Balls?
Oh, that's the best. That's a great name right there.
I think he was in the news a couple of years ago because there was some talk in Fort Wayne about changing the name of that building that was named after him because people were always like stealing the sign or something because his name was Harry Balls.
The people that are stealing those signs, those are my people. I'd like to claim them right now. I know no one else wants them, but I'll take them.
Here's a realtor. It's very unfortunate to be a realtor. You put the for sale sign out in front of somebody's house, and your name is Jolly Mangina. If that's your name, that's tough. Here's a Hong Kong model. Her name is Poon Ho. That seems a little unfortunate as well. You don't want to be Poon Ho. Here's a pitcher, a minor league baseball pitcher for the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Red Barons. His name is Steve Schartz. I don't think anybody wants to be Steve Schartz. Here's a yearbook photo of a young man named Rowdy Negro.
Okay.
And his yearbook caption under his photo in the yearbook is, "Yes, it's my real name, Rowdy Negro, white guy, by the way."
Wow. Can you imagine growing up with any name that is just lightning? It's just like lightning strikes. Everywhere you go, people think that no one's ever made the joke before. That would be so terrible.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you've got an unusual or funny or bizarre name you want to add. You have time for a couple more?
Sure.
Here's a guy. Apparently he runs a gas station. His name is Dick Assman.
Come on now.
Yes, Dick Assman.
But I'm saying, come on.
Here's a screen grab of what looks like a politician in a Spanish language speaking country. His name is Hitler Mussolini.
No.
What?
Hitler. No. Mussolini.
Wow. Not good.
You're not going to beat that. Olympic legend Misty Hyman is on the list. You've heard of Misty Hyman? She's a legitimate, actual professional athlete. Would you go if you're looking for a dermatologist, Allie, would you go to Dr. James Grossweiner?
Yes, I would.
You would, because you would appreciate that name.
Yep.
So the list just goes on and on. Look, you don't want to be named Yolanda Squat Pump. I know that.
I do.
You don't want to be named Dr. B.J. Hardick.
I know you don't want to be named Dr. BJ Harden.
No, that these. What?
Come on.
That's a real name.
Nope.
You don't want your last name to be Penis Breath. I guarantee that that's not a name you want. And, of course, we'll close with race car driver Dick Trickle, who I'm sure you've heard of from the ESPN over the years. Dick Trickle is a very popular race car driver as well. All right, so there's some names to get us started. We're curious to see what you have to add to the list. You can't beat what poor Chief Keefe's son is going to have to go through the first few months of his life with, but you can try. 1-800-520-1067, or you can text us, as always, at the number 2, KROQ, 2 KROQ, 2-5767. We'll talk to you next on KROQ. Having some fun now, talking about wacky names that people give their kids. Chief Keef, a rapper in the news for naming his newborn son after his record label, SnowFilmon.com, is the kid's given name. That led us to ask for your calls at 1-800-5... Why am I giving the number here? We got Doto.
Yeah. Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I love you too, Joe. All right, let's see what you got. Let's go with, we got so many good ones. Let's go with Janine, line 40, get us going up in Santa Clarita. Hey, Janine, welcome to the Kevin Devine Show. What's going on?
Hi.
So you're the one responsible for this name.
Well, me and my husband, yes.
Right, okay.
All right. Confess.
Yeah, son, you named your son what?
Dexter Danger. Dexter's his first name, Danger is his middle name.
So good. I support it.
And I get that everybody thinks it's funny. Oh, Danger truly is. I get that you would do that. But Dexter Danger, what are you going for there?
Somebody had given me the suggestion to actually name his middle name Danger. My husband and I were like, oh, no.
You know why? Because that's a terrible idea.
No.
I mean, it's a funny joke. It's a funny punchline.
Yeah, it's a funny joke to make when you're having a conversation about what you're really going to name your kid. How old is Dexter?
He's 22 months.
Okay, now that's my next question.
That poor bastard.
Why do you give him a name that is 100% associated with a serial killer on TV?
Why not?
That's a great
Janine's got a lot of great points.
Why not, Janine? Yeah. This is America.
That answers every question I ever had about Janine.
The sweetest kid.
I'm sure he is. And he's going to get beat up a lot because of your name.
Thank you, Janine. We got to go. Let's go to Miriam and Glendora, please, on line 5 up next. Miriam, thank you for calling the Kevin Devine Show. What's going on?
Hi there.
Oh, hi. I've been in banking for 20 years, so I've seen, everything. And these are legal names, on their IDs.
Okay.
I helped the tequila. I helped the Stanky. I helped a Smurfette.
Wait. So Stanky and Smurfettes were first names or last names?
No, the Smurfette was her first name.
Oh, Allie, you're so jealous.
I kind of like that.
Okay.
Smurfette.
But wait, let me ask you guys all a question. A lot of those, it sounds like to me, at some point along the way, they changed it so that it would be funny.
Right.
I mean...
You mean it wasn't their given name? You think
right.
These are adults who went in and changed from Debbie to Smurfette?
Yes. Well, I mean, what are the chances that parents would name them Smurfette?
We just talked to somebody who named their kid Dexter Danger.
Yeah, but she's insane. That woman was Miriam was insane. Oh, this is
Miriam.
That was Janine. Adults change their name to wacky things. That might be another topic for another day. If you're an adult who changed your name to something, what did you change it to?
We could get those calls all day.
Miriam, thank you for the call.
Thank
I appreciate that. Tim writes in, a friend teaches and one of her students is, and I'm not kidding, first name Cash. Middle name Money, last name Stacks. How about that? That guy is going to be a rapper, and
wow.
He's going to be rich. Let's go to line 7, please. Irvine, California, and Eric listening in. Hi, Eric. What's going on?
How you doing?
Good.
So I have a recruiter in Orange County that her name is Rolla Weed.
No. How do you spell Rolla? Like
R-O-L-L-A. Rolla Weed.
Love it. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jason Ukaipa, line 8 up next. Now, this is a perfect example of you already have an unfortunate last name. Do you make it worse by linking it to this first name? Jason, what do you know?
Hey, guys. Hey, Ollie.
Hey.
Hey, yeah. A long time ago, I had a client in my retail store I worked at. Her name was Anita Dick.
All right.
Okay.
No way.
Okay.
No way.
Jason. Jason.
Yeah.
Did you know this person?
I did not personally know this person, but she was a client in the store.
And this was told to you by someone at the store? Because this doesn't sound too good to be true?
No. It was a jewelry store, and I used to take in all the repair work, and so I interacted with her, and her name actually was Anita Dick.
And did you, I guess you wouldn't, you know, want to alienate a client by asking questions about it, but you had to have wondered why, if her last name was Dick, her parents gave her the Anita, or maybe she married a Mr. Dick.
Yeah.
In which case, she
should have kept her maiden name.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, Anita Dick is rough, man. That's rough. I mean, Allie has that tattooed on her chest, but
right.
I mean, for someone to go through as a name, that's tough.
Right.
All right. Thank you for the call. This is great. Wow. All right. Let's go to, I think Chad is getting into the urban legends.
See,
don't
I
you?
Agree. Yeah.
I don't think Chad's
That's my
real.
Fear.
All right. Let's go to Jillian or Gillian, please, on line one, Sherman Oaks.
Hey. So my grandfather is buried next to Harry Weiner, and on his headstone it says, "How did I get so lucky?"
And he's talking about dying because he had to go through life with a name like Harry Weiner.
Exactly. So we always get a good kick when we have to go visit my grandfather at the cemetery.
Well, they provide you with a little lightheartedness
nice.
In that serious situation.
Exactly.
Nothing more fun than a day with the grave. Thank you.
Gotta get on the same page with that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
Ralph Garman time. What's going on the showbiz beat, my friend?
No justice, no peace. That's all. I'm getting to get a little Brady looting party after the show if you guys want to
come.
Oh, are
you? Gonna get a TV?
I'm going to burn some buildings and burn some cars and loot a little bit. So if you guys need anything, just let me know. I'll pick
okay.
you something up. Just
all right.
Write it down. I'll take an order.
All right. That's nice of you.
I like it. Because no justice, no peace, right?
I agree.
But there was justice.
No, there wasn't.
Everything's fine.
Sure. For your people, there was justice.
Well, for
what
people
about us?
That were looking at the case.
What about us, the downtrodden minority?
I would like
Eagles
to say
fans?
That. Yes. I would like to say, hashtag non-patriot fans lives matter too. How about
right,
that?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Bean. See you at the meeting. I'm going to interrupt Bernie Sanders for a while. I'll be back.
We're so close to getting rid of Brady. Smug face.
No, I don't think we were, by the way.
Really
we were. He was going to jail for life if this judge
ever,
had done the right thing.
Who feels worse today? Who's the guy who feels worse?
Backup quarterback?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep.
Yeah, he's like, are you effing kidding me?
He was killing
And Allie says he was great in preseason.
I was 7 days away from
How
starting
come
for
he
the
didn't
Patriots.
Testify?
Why didn't Garoppolo go, I saw him do it, Your Honor. I saw that he took a needle and he put it in there. He took the air out and he was laughing and rubbing his hands together and twirling his mustache.
Screaming, F the NFL.
He's a fool.
That poor dude.
All right, let's talk about other people get away with murder. Justin Bieber.
Guilty.
Murdered somebody and got away with it.
I don't think that's at all true.
All right, well, he made a turn out of the right-hand lane.
That doesn't seem as bad.
Actually, he passed on the right. Even worse.
Passed on the right.
Pass on the right, Kevin. You know that, right? Oh, no. Who am I talking to?
How dare you?
Worst driver in California.
How dare
you? As testified to by the state of California.
I think that was a mistake.
Did you get a letter that said you're one of the worst drivers in California?
Yeah, but they meant it for someone else.
Because
I'm a great driver. I'm actually a very good driver.
Have you ever passed on the right? Have you ever swerved around somebody on the right-hand side and passed them in traffic?
I mean, maybe, but only when I need to.
Here.
No, when you want to.
You're a blessing.
No,
you
Bean.
Never need to.
Oh, see, that's where you're wrong.
Four police cars.
When do you need to? Under what circumstances do you need to pass on the right?
You don't
I'm
know,
just
man.
For clarification
you don't know, man, because you weren't there.
Okay.
Four police cars lined up to issue Justin citations. And they pull him out of the car and just give him the business a little bit, you know? Give him a little of the business. You with me? Who's with me on the business?
Business.
Yeah. He got a citation for that. Also racked up a ticket for having his windows that were tinted too dark. So the whole thing set him back a cool $263.
Wow.
Whoa.
He's going to have to call
someone's
Buddy
going on
Lee.
Tour.
He's going to have to call Buddy Lee and see if he can take care of that for him. See, it's just, you can't just, it sure should be some sort of sliding scale. For that kind of stuff.
So if you're
because
rich,
a $263 ticket to us is like, ouch. To Bieber, though.
He's got that on him.
He reaches into his cup holder and pulls out a few $100 coins and then just flips them to the cop. They're still making the $100 coin, aren't they?
I don't know.
Sacagawea, right?
I don't know anything about the $100 coin. Nothing.
This thing on?
It is.
But
Allie's delighted that Bieber's walking too.
Of course,
right?
She is.
She's probably very
yes.
happy about that.
She likes all criminals to go free. That's always
right.
been her.
She thinks
stand.
There should be no laws, no rules at all. No.
Who keeps just bringing up Tom Brady?
Mass hysteria.
Ooh, you guys, I haven't said word one. I am just content in justice being served. It's a good day for America.
That's
with
baloney.
Me. Who's
it
with
doesn't
me?
Make
Bill?
Sense.
Nope, Judge
Bill
Judy's
Simmons.
Not with you.
Sorry.
Give me a call, Bill.
Doctor Who fans will be happy to hear that River Song's coming back to Doctor Who for the special upcoming Christmas episode.
He or she is the best.
Come on. You don't know who River Song is?
I'm sorry.
Mm-mm. It's the River. It's the Doctor's wife.
Oh.
Who's a time-traveling professor in her own right.
Did they travel together?
Because she's part-time lord. None of this ringing a bell?
No. No.
She comes in and out of his life. He's going forward in time. She's going backward. So when she's met
they have
him,
to meet in passing?
When she's met him, they've already been married in the Doctor's future, but to her it's the past. Right? Come on.
What?
Alex Kingston plays her, and she's terrific, and this will be the first time she appears with the new Doctor, Peter Capaldi. But we're all very excited. Doctor Who returns to BBC America for its 12-episode run, beginning Saturday, September the 19th. It's right around the corner. There's too much happening in the next couple weeks. There's just too much
going
on.
There's a lot, yeah.
There's all kinds of TV, and there's sports, and the NFL's starting again, and I got things to do and places to go, and I just can't deal with it. I need some medication. Kevin, what do you got?
How dare you?
You have to cut back on some of your many jobs. Maybe that's what it is.
No.
Take a little time off.
No.
Smell the roses, man.
Daddy's got shoes to buy.
Stop it.
Daddy's got tuition to pay. When I say daddy, I'm actually a daddy, and I'm talking about daddy things.
And even with
I'm not like daddy likey up on Creep Island.
It's not as bad.
Right? I'm like, daddy likey.
Yeah, that's...
I have to put together my Christmas music playlist. Not that guy.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
You've just got the one kid, though, right? You're not buying for 30.
Still makes you a daddy.
No, I'm saying in terms of how many jobs you need to work. It seems like you can take a little time off, relax a little bit. You're just going full throttle all the time. This is what people don't know about Ralph, man, is he leaves here and he goes to, you know...
Real jobs.
Yeah.
Well, other real, things, but other jobs. Jobs.
Server at Applebee's right after the shift.
Yeah. I got paper route. I got that in the morning. I got drop off the Herald Examiner.
Really?
Is that still a thing? No wonder business is so slow.
They stopped making that paper years ago.
I haven't collected in years. I'm losing money on this deal. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, the 3rd of September.
It was the 3rd of September. That day I'll always remember. Yes,
yeah.
I will.
Yeah. And that ain't right. And that ain't right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rita Volk. Amy from Faking It. 25 years old today. Legendary snowboarder Shaun White. The Velvet Tomato. What's his name again? What's it?
Well, it used flying, to be Flying.
Flying Tomato, right?
Days, yeah.
Isn't that what they call him that
Velvet.
He doesn't like that anymore?
No.
Is he getting cheesed off?
A long time.
You seen him lately?
He's yoked.
Yeah.
You should call him the Flying Egg.
He's way past it.
He's yoked. He's 29
what?
Years old
what?
Today.
What's that in the file?
Andrew McMahon, the singer for The Wilderness, is 33 years old today. Charlie Sheen's 50.
Winning.
Thank you. And Sex Pistols guitarist Steve Jones, known to his friends as Jonesy. He's 60 years old today. Remember when he used to work here? He was a great guy.
He
was, have a lot of
he
fun
was a great
him.
Guy.
Probably
great
still
radio
is.
Show too.
No, not anymore. Apparently he's gone south.
Didn't realize
once
that.
He left our station. He's 60. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tiny little George Ezra, who looks like he's about 16 years old. Performed for us here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space down the hall last month. We're looking ahead towards September now, and next Wednesday, Panic at the Disco is going to be in there. You can win your way in all this week with Nicole and the Furious Five at 9, and you can go to krock.com, the contest page, if you want to enter that way, or you can follow K-Rock on Instagram for details on how to be there in person to see Panic at the Disco. A lot of good stuff, a lot of good ways to win your way in for that show at the Red Bull Sound Space. Do we have our friend Dr. Drew?
We do. Dr. Drew, I'd like to start by mentioning something else, and that is if you go to any red carpet event and you see Beer Mug, we appreciate that you talk to him, but you don't have to.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Free at last.
You're so nice for going over there, but then you have to talk to Beer Mug, so I just like to say it's all right.
Well, you got to understand something. First of all, I was shocked he was inside the building.
Right.
Then,
yes,
then
of course.
I thought,
Then I thought there's some sort of maybe a security operation or something. Like, you know, maybe I can keep him distracted until they take him down.
Oh, I see.
You know, it was very stunning and startling. There was no heat bearing down. There was no sort of homeless people standing around. I didn't know what to make of it. I was sort of confused. So now I know. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Well, you were very kind to go out of your way to talk to him because you certainly didn't have to. And, well, listen, we love having Dr. Drew on.
Wait. One more thing. That pot just keeps him sharp as a tack.
Yeah,
doesn't it? So glad he's doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He claims he's gonna lay off the pot for 30. What did he say? For 30 days or
it
for a year?
Doesn't matter, Bean. It doesn't matter because he's not gonna.
He's not gonna do it. Okay. Dr. Drew Pinsky, as you know, is very busy co-hosting Loveline with Mike Catherwood here on K Rock. He also has the afternoon radio show on KBC. You can see him Monday through Thursday night on HLN with the new Dr. Drew on call. But he makes time for us because we always have questions, and we got a sexy topic for you today, Dr. Drew.
All right.
Literally, it involves pansexuality, asexuality, intersexuality. There's so many new terms being thrown at us. We've just gotten our heads around transgender, and now we've got so much more to learn. Yeah. Why don't we start with pansexual? Because that's been in the news a lot lately because Miley Cyrus was doing press leading up to the hosting of the MTV show this weekend, and she said that she is a pansexual. Now, I had not heard that before. Is this a new term that's becoming popular?
It's not new amongst the kids, Bean, as we say. I got to preface this conversation with a couple of comments. Well, one is I am not an expert in this area. I'm trying to learn and get my head around it just like everybody else and just like you guys.
We're here for you, Dr. Drew.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I get it. I'm an ally. I really intend to be knowledgeable, but I'm not any kind of expert. And so please, if I misstep, correct me. I'm happy to learn. So I'm trying to, as I understand it, is how I'm trying to present things. After our transgender show, which I think is going to re-air soon, I think I'm much more knowledgeable there. But I also learned it's really easy to misstep and really easy to hurt people's feelings as a result. But ultimately, all of this is just pressing the issue that so much about our gender, our sexual orientation, our attractions, how we think of ourselves is not something that should be a digital phenomenon. You know, him, her, he, she, these sort of the monikers of masculinity and femininity are sort of being challenged, and as a result, they're being challenged on all fronts. So all these other sorts of, what should we call them, phenomenon, ways of being, have been sort of brought to the fore. And it turns out there are a lot of people that have been feeling like this for a long time and just sort of thought there was something wrong with them and sort of tried to comply or cooperate with the general social trend. So pansexual.
Yes.
Pansexual would mean that you're just, as it sounds, you're attracted to everything and everybody. And it's not just that you're gay or just that you're bisexual. It's that you might be attracted to transgender. You might be attracted to asexual. You might be attracted to some of these other categories that are not what we think of when we think of, say, bisexual. Does that make sense?
But you're screwed if you're attracted to an asexual. Is that correct?
Well, and here's the thing on asexual. I've talked to a lot of asexuals these days, and these are people that have no sexual energy at all. And please, if you consider yourself in that category, I cannot count how many people have come to me with that kind of now what they qualify as an orientation, and it turns out they have a pituitary tumor or ovarian failure or some significant medical problem. Lack of libido is one of the earliest signs of a significant medical problem. So particularly if you had a libido, a sex drive, and then lost it, please see a doctor and don't declare you have a new sexual orientation, please.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a great point from a medical standpoint. I've been reading a lot about asexuality lately because, first of all, I was surprised that one article said that there are 4.5 million Americans who identify as asexual, meaning that they have no sexual attraction to anyone ever.
Yeah.
And there are some who are saying that it has for a long time. Is this true, Doctor? It has for a long time been classified as a sexual dysfunction, and now they're trying to have it classified as something else, right?
Like so many of these things, they've been looked at as abnormalities because either you know they weren't like the rest of us, but some of it was treatable. You could restore things. And again, most of the asexual patients I've seen, it has different kind of flavors to it. It's like, well, I really have a sex drive, but I don't want to be with people, or I don't have a sex drive, but it's all kinds of different elements and qualifications around it. So it's another category that needs to kind of be broken down. But I'm telling you, if you don't have normal sexual drive and responses, have that medically evaluated, please.
All right, let me ask you this, though.
And I've seen bona fide asexuals who are perfectly normal medically. Go ahead.
So if you've been medically evaluated and there is nothing wrong with you, but you just have no sexual desire, doctor, is there something wrong with you?
No, not necessarily. And that's what this group is trying to listen. Generally, this is about trying to normalize so many aspects of our sexual functioning rather than look at these things as pathology. The American Psychiatric Association has an ignominious history of pathologizing things like being gay and transgender and things that are maybe not so pathological or at all pathological and need to be just embraced and allowed to people. Listen, what is our goal as clinicians anyway? Our goal as clinicians is to help people flourish, help people feel good and flourish, not to comply with some social standard. And so if you can flourish and feel great and thrive in your life and be asexual, okay. But it's generally been thought, and this is sort of a general principle, that people need work, love, and play. And the love piece, if you can find it without sexuality, then good.
All right, last question.
It gets complicated.
We covered asexual. We covered pansexual. I got one more to throw out at you, and I thought about this last week when I was watching the premiere of Faking It, which just came back on MTV. And there's a character on that show named Lauren who is, I don't know what the pronunciation is. She intersexual, or is she an intersex, or was she born in? I don't know what what's going on with her.
She's intersex, and so intersex, what people used to call perhaps hermaphrodite, which is considered no longer a PC term. But even the intersex sort of, I was reading in there's like a National Society of Intersex. Let me look it up. There are people, obviously organizations to help support these folks. International Intersex Society of America.
I feel like we could look it up.
Thank you. I'm just saying. And even they have trouble defining the syndrome. It's easy to say it's an intersex if people have both ovarian and testicular tissue. And the most common sort of manifestation of what we used to call hermaphrodite, now intersex, is one organ we call an ovotesti. It's one thing. And the person kind of goes back and forth. It can be very difficult for them. And there's a lot of mood disturbances and things associated, not just with the phenomenon of being intersex, but the biology of being intersex. So there's that. But then there's people with ambiguous genitalia, people who are born with XY chromosomes, or maybe XXY, or maybe XXY, or maybe XO, and these are the sex hormones, the sex chromosomes can be all different.
And those are the ones where at some point the parents make a decision what they're going to do to set that kid off on a path, right?
And, well, it's effectively ambiguous genitalia is when you're born with genitalia that can either go either way or look more female, but you have male hormones, or maybe you have male chromosomes, but your body doesn't respond to male hormones. There's various versions of this. The prevailing wisdom is that you look at what the genetics of that individual is, and you know, you try to make the genitalia fit the genetics, because it doesn't go well when you don't.
I saw ambiguous genitalia at the True.
They were amazing.
They bring it.
Yeah.
What did you say?
People are so complicated, aren't they, Drew? That's what we're learning about. Is there a lot of different flavors in the world these days?
That's right. It's all good, everybody. That's the bottom line.
It's all good, everybody.
Yeah.
That's our takeaway.
Yeah. Be an ally and try to learn and don't be afraid of it. And again, it's about all of us flourishing. If that's how somebody wants to flourish, they certainly aren't hurting anybody else.
The new Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6. Hear him on Loveline 5 nights a week and afternoons with Mike Catherwood on KABC. Thanks for the time, Doc.
You got it, guys.
And now, a moment with Bean.
All right, so there's a guy who's hosting the program, and he's interviewing a lady in the area who's, you know, familiar with the ecology.
That was a moment with Bean.
Beanbot finally had a chip go. He just burned a chip out in his brain pan there, and it just
serious. Just requires a software upgrade. I'm going to be fine, Ralph.
All right, if you say so.
God damn it, Bean!
I'm sorry.
What? I said, "Move around," and she's familiar with the.
Look, in my defense, how long have I been working next to Kevin?
Oh.
If you don't think eventually that's going to start to rub off,
I see. Hi, then. Buck. Let me pass you. That's what you're saying.
I'm just saying. I'm doing the best I can under the circumstances. All right. What about one more look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman?
Way to make friends, by the way, you guys. Way to make friends, you two.
What we do.
I heard your little conversation with Bruce Endicott of that coffee organization.
I don't feel like he was fully informed on that topic.
No. Some people might say they took offense.
Huh.
Not offense. Umbrage, perhaps. Maybe I felt he was in need of some correction.
Okay.
We just received this tweet at Kevin and Bean on our Twitter feed for the Kevin and Bean Show, at Kevin and Bean, from the Peace Corps West.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right. Good.
Peace Corps West's Twitter feed, at Peace Corps West, tweets, "We love everyone. Hashtag no hate hate."
So Hate Squared is not...
They're not a hate-hate organization, not a hate-hate group. It's not Hate Squared.
Misunderstood, it sounds like.
According from the Peace Corps West, they would like to clarify that the hashtag no hate-hate.
Okay, no hate-hate.
So we love everyone, they say. So stand corrected. You know who does hate? Taylor Swift.
How
does she hate?
How dare you?
She is one racist broad, I gotta tell you.
No one loves the world more than Taylor Swift does.
Well, not according to this.
What a stupid comment that is.
No one loves the world.
Come on! No one loves the world more than anyone is.
No. Yeah, Taylor's the most loving of all.
Here's what I'm saying. For all the press that there has been on Taylor Swift over the past few years, how frequently do you see her saying a single negative word about anybody? With the exception of calling Apple out on their policies, she didn't say... I mean, look, she doesn't call out people for being dicks.
No, she calls them out for being black, apparently, according to the story.
All right, what's going on with
Taylor? She is racist. Her new video, Wildest Dreams, is wildly racist, say people who follow things that are racist.
That's a shaky group right there.
Is that what they're actually called, Ralph?
Yes. The National Association of People Who Follow Things That Are Racist says that her new video, which shows her and Scott Eastwood in colonial-era Africa, is racist. And they condemn it for romanticizing white colonialism.
Because it takes place racist.
In a time when white people were colonizing Africa. We are shocked to think that in 2015, Taylor Swift, her record label, and her video production group would think it is okay to film a video that presents a glamorous version of the white colonial fantasy of Africa. Boom. Drop the mic. Hello, racist.
So that is racist and only part true.
Not only is she crop dusting people at the VMAs, not only is she farting.
I don't think that was proven.
It's science.
Okay.
Check the greenhouse gas levels, Kevin.
Okay.
There's two main causes.
I don't know how to do that. But okay.
Cows.
Uh-huh.
Cattle.
Methane.
Methane that comes from cattle.
Right.
And Taylor Swift. That's what scientists are saying.
Okay. Only two?
Only two sources.
Wow.
So she's a farter and a racist is what we're saying.
That's what you're saying. I mean.
Everyone's saying.
So
the National Association of Farting Racists has come out and condemned her.
The short version of this complaint is... How is the video set in Africa and there's so few black people? I mean, that's essentially what they're saying is, why is this story spotlighting only whitey?
Yes, right? But also it glamorizes an era when the whitey was trying to colonize Africa. So they're saying it's doubly racist and in some spots quadruply racist in certain scenes.
It sounds racist.
Up to eight times the average racist.
Really?
They're saying. They measured it with the raceometer.
That's pretty full
so
up.
So it's science.
So it's science.
Okay.
And so they're saying she pretty much should be put in a spider hole, is what they're recommending.
This hard whole to argue story with sounds data. A little shaky, and I hate her. Sounds a little shaky.
Just saying.
You bitch-ass, redneck, white bread, chicken motherfucker. You, your mama, and everything connected to you, you racist piece of you.
And that's President Obama.
That was
President Obama. I think that was Snoop Dogg. On Taylor Swift's video.
Pretty sure that was Snoop.
The video's director, Joseph Kahn, claims these claims of racism are spurious and refuted, if you will, by one simple fact. Here's his tweet. My longtime producer, Jill Harden, is a super hot black woman.
So, hey, not so much help from you,
so
guys.
How can it possibly be racist?
Has that defense ever worked?
I'm not sure.
No.
But he's chiming in, and now we know. So there you go.
Okay,
all right?
So he's a racist.
So that's settled, right? Star Wars Episode 8 is getting a lot of attention this week.
I'm so sick of Star Wars Episode 7. I know that.
I can't watch that one more time.
7 comes out in December.
Tired of it.
Right.
Tell me what else you got. What's new?
By the way, just as an aside, tomorrow is Force Friday, so get out there.
Force Friday.
Yes.
Right.
Kevin, which of course you know is?
A day that you celebrate the Force on Friday.
No.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's the day all the new Star Wars 7 merch hits the stores.
The toys, yeah.
Yeah. But Star Wars 8 getting attention because of its casting rumors. Benicio Del Toro is reportedly close to signing a deal to play the main villain in the film. Jane the Virgin star Gina Rodriguez is going to appear in the film, according to rumors. Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl star Olivia Cooke, our pal Olivia from Bates Motel.
We love Olivia.
We love Olivia. She is also vying for the female lead of the film, as is Tatiana Maslany, of course, as you know from Orphan Black, and she already has a lot of nerd cred, so that might be good casting on their part.
Ariana Grande?
Nope, she is not in the running for the role.
Fetty Wap?
Nope, also will not be participating in this film, according to sources. Now, TheWrap.com, which is a great entertainment news website, by the way, they say that Gina, Tatiana, and Olivia will all be vying for the same role, the lead in the film, the female star of the film. It will be a female star.
Farrah Abramson?
She is also not being considered. The character? You know what the character is for this film?
No.
Oh, my God.
What?
Han Solo's daughter.
Yeah!
That's a pretty choice role.
She's going to be like a female space pirate.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. So I'll keep you posted as more factless rumors come out.
You should just call the showbiz report that.
Just factless rumors. Yeah,
that's what you specialize in, Ralph.
I probably should.
I heard a thing from a guy is another thing we can
really,
call it.
Just for everyone who writes me and tries to correct me and wants more information.
He appreciates
about
it. It's Ralph at krock.com.
I'm just treading water here, people. I'm just trying to fill up some time. I have no idea what I'm doing. Haven't for years. Today's celebrity birthdays, all these stars were born on today, the 3rd of September.
It was the 3rd of September.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That day I'll always remember.
That's
yes, I
will. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just singing along. Mm-hmm. Sex Pistols guitarist Steve Jonesy Jones is 60 years old today.
We're not allowed to refer to them by their name anymore. I don't know if you were paying attention during the meeting yesterday, Ralph, but we can't use that word.
Sex Pistols
anymore.
Is a euphemism?
It could be. Could be perceived that way. There could be somebody one day who might hear you say that and be offended by it.
I hear you. All right, well, that band?
Just the Pistols. Just call them the Pistols. That's fine. Well, although, there
pistols.
Are those. Who, yeah, guns are yeah. very red hot issue right know. Now, right. So you might not be able to say either word.
All right.
Hmm. We'll get back to you on that.
Who'd ever thought one of the Sex Pistols would live to see 60, by the way? Anybody? Any show?
No, I'm kidding.
It's a remarkable achievement, Jonesy. Congratulations. Charlie Sheen's 50. What? What did I do?
You're congratulating somebody for being alive.
Yes, I am. If it's a Sex Pistol, you're goddamn right I am.
Okay. How old was Sid Vicious? He was like 30, wasn't he?
Yes.
All right.
Jonesy's doubled the bell curve.
That's right.
Charlie Sheen's 50 years old today. Andrew McMahon. From in
from
this
what?
Is written poorly. It says Andrew McMahon in the wilderness singer Andrew McMahon is 33. That's how the sentence reads.
Wow.
Yeah. Just get Don on the phone. Is Don on the phone?
We don't have a Don.
Yes, we do.
We don't.
I met him yesterday in the meeting.
Yeah, well.
Don true. Was not happy with our work.
Yeah. He sings that Cecilia and the Satellite song that we're playing here on Kerouac. That's so good.
Sure
very
does.
Talented young man.
Snowboarder Shaun White is 29 years old today. And actress Rita Volk.
Ooh.
Amy from Faking It. She's 25. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Think, Ralph, tomorrow morning we have R.J. Bell is back. How about that?
Oh,
R.J. Bell, our guy from Las Vegas, tell you how to make money. He's going to give us a college football preview.
R.J. Bell! R.J. Bell!
Please
that's going to be
that
the
together
theme song
for tomorrow. I like please it. Do that, Ralph.
R.J. Bell!
Love it.
Here's R.J. Bell! R.J. Bell!
It's pretty strong.
Thank you.
We also have season tickets to see UCLA. Season tickets. How about that?
We're going to kill them this weekend.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Says Bean. Movie beat tomorrow because it's Friday. And we also have you had to block somebody on Facebook.
Oh, boy.
Is this
right
a thing
there.
Now?
I am right on the cusp, man. I got my finger on the button.
You haven't pulled it yet?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
This friend of mine from junior high school.
Right.
So I've known this guy a long time.
Have you been good friends with this guy?
We were one of, he was one of my best friends back in Philly.
Mm.
But something's gone horribly wrong.
Well, he's from Philly.
How dare you,
that's
sir?
That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying.
It's not what
anyway,
we're saying.
Right?
You
want what?
Have what? To see what I've been doing.
Rocky,
hearing.
I'm trying to
on my webpage. Checking it out.
Your webpage
you go
that?
To Facebook.
All right, you're
oh,
on
Rodney's
Facebook.
On Facebook.
And right. It's
What is it?
Facebook.com/ROTRKROQ.
Wait, hold on.
I gotta get the phone on the rock webpage.
What's
happening? Facebook.com/ROTRKROQ.
Okay.
All one word.
Right.
Anyway, I'll be back right after this.
No, I don't think so. But we'll be back.